Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 138, episode 1 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers,
welcome.
Fuck Fox News,
welcome.
Fuck Rush Limbaugh,
welcome.
Fuck Buck Sexton,
welcome.
Fuck Sean Hannity,
welcome.
It's Monday,
also,
June 15th.
Also, fuck J.K. Rowling.
Fuck J.K. Rowling. It's Monday, June 15th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Whoa, of gray is the color of my energy. Whoa, but you can call me Mr. Miles of G.
Thank you to Hannah Soltis. This time actually wrote this AK, not like yesterday where I just pulled last week when I pulled the energy out of the ether to get that. Thank you to at Soltis Hannah for that Amber 311 cover AK.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat. It's the end of a long ban. We are thrilled to have him back. He is the co-host one of my favorite podcasts, The Flagrant Ones, on Patreon. He is Mr. Carl Tart.
I'm back.
Clink, 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 bottle clink. Most of your new listeners don't know who I am.
Oh, they do if they listen to podcasts. Come on, Carl.
Yeah.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Oh, baby.
Don't be too modest now.
I've missed you fellas so much.
I've missed you, man.
I've missed you too, man.
Carl, how have you been, man?
I've been good, man.
It's been a year and a half.
I've been good, eating vegetables, trying to drink some water.
Oh.
What
kind of vegetables?
Broccoli, steaming the broccoli, put like a 3 centimeters of water in the big ass pot and throwing the broccoli in there. I like my broccoli soft, which means not nutritious.
Yeah. Wait, are you just cooking all the nutrients out of it?
All the nutrients out of it, but damn, it's good.
I mean, because that's like the first broccoli I was able to stomach was over microwave frozen broccoli.
Yeah.
And sometimes I love a just mushy pile of broccoli.
I like cheddar cheese with little pieces of broccoli in it. That's the type of broccoli that I prefer.
You're more in the cheese. Yeah, you're in the cheese zone.
Is that like broccoli cheese soup when they make that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's great?
I'll always be down up for a bowl of broccoli cheese soup for some reason. It's probably the worst decision you can make, but there are times when I see it on a menu and I'm like, I think I'm gonna try it.
I got to get into broccoli cheese soup. Broccoli cheese soup is something that it's something about eating cheese with a spoon that has never quite meshed for me. And I love nachos. I love cheese sauce. But for some reason, when it's like eating it with a spoon, it's like, nah, give me a chip.
I don't know. No, that's called dignity. That's the thing that is preventing you from wanting to eat melted cheese with a spoon.
Yeah, because usually when I order it at Subway, they always say, you're serious? And I'm like, yes, actually,
from
sorry.
Us? From us? Could you want that from us?
This one behind me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you wanted a foot-long tuna sub? I'm like, yes.
All right.
You're like,
Miles.
I'm going to call, you might need an intervention, but they help me out.
Carl, you've also been eating a lot of fast food on Doughboys, another one of our favorite podcasts. What's the best thing you've eaten in your time as a guest on Doughboys?
With the Doughboys, the best thing I had, Waffle House is my favorite restaurant in America, and I did Waffle House with those cats. I definitely had some Culver's was good. That was in Milwaukee. I enjoyed that. Detroit, I still got a bone to pick with Detroit because I went and I put cheese on my Coney dog because I didn't grow up. The only Coneys I had growing up was Sonic and it's a chili cheese Coney. So, and also I like when I eat something with chili, I want cheese with it. This is the cheese day.
Natural.
Cheese cast. And when I like, I put cheese on it and the audience like started to boo me when I said that. I'm like, hey man. All of y'all can kiss my cheesy ass.
Wait, it's a violation to put cheese on a Coney?
Apparently,
I've had like Coney's like Cincinnati style chili, like Skyline or Gold Star, cheese is on there, and it didn't seem like a transgression. But I guess it's all regional.
It's probably them trying to separate themselves from that. But you know, like how in Chicago they get mad at you if you put ketchup on your hot dog or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, I'm gonna put ketchup on my hot dog. I'm going to the South Side and telling everybody. I ain't scared, homie. I'm from South Central LA.
Carl, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell the listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're gonna just remind you guys not to be fooled by the symbolic stuff is cool. The tearing the statues down is cool, but there's still a bunch of work to do. Structural change to pursue. We're going to talk about the economic outlook. This dude at BuzzFeed News just like wrote this piece that is, I don't know if he's trying to terrify people, but it's scary. Just like not like years in the future, like a couple months. Like I think he said August. Like he said that the American economy is like a jetliner that's engines have flamed out and now we're just coasting and we will likely crash into the side of the mountain is the metaphor that he used. We'll talk about Q. We'll talk about the Chappelle special. We'll talk about the number two movie on Netflix, the number two piece of content, the number one movie on Netflix, a film called 365 Dini or Dini. Deny, 365 Days.
Exactly.
Our writer Jan McNabb said it looks like a horny bank commercial, and that's pretty accurate. It is wild.
Yeah.
So we're gonna talk about all of that, plenty more. But first, Carl, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I'm a bend. A-M-A-B-E-N-D. Y'all know what that is?
Mm-mm.
That is the first recorded adult film ever from like 1896. And here's the thing with that. I'm not a porn-toe guy. Mm-hmm. I don't really watch the porn-toe. But I'm like,
wow.
I was thinking to myself, I was like, what?
When did you have a very powerful imagination?
When did people first start getting freaky on camera?
Right.
And I looked it up and it was this film. And I'm like, That probably wasn't a good situation for the women involved. I mean,
yeah, I can't imagine what the tactics were of the first pornography producer.
Yeah,
in the game. But like, so this is what country was it shot
it was in? German. You know it was okay. Germany, baby. You know how they get down.
Wait, what does the title mean? Is it like
in I don't the know. Evening?
Something it's, like that.
It translates to in the evening.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what you do in the
evening. Made in 1910, 10 minutes long, and hardcore. It's hardcore.
Yeah, that was the first hardcore one, because before that it was like women showing ankles and stuff like
that. Oh, uh-huh. Right.
But
right.
This is one.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. This director was like, nah. Women got more than ankles, baby.
He's like, nah. Aim the camera down there real quick.
Yeah.
That movie where the train comes at you was actually considered pornography at the time because it's so suggestive. I was just like, come on. Well, did you watch the movie or you can't find it.
Nah.
Oh, really? It hasn't? I feel like that's wild would because save you can that
find,
for history.
I know. You can find like literally pornography every piece of pornography on the internet. That's
Pornhub.
Well, not every. There are people who are like diligently trying to archive as many VHS old porn VHS tapes to try and have a digitized like record.
Yeah.
Fortunately, posterity is not something that the community is thinking about all the time.
The Wikipedia page for this is pretty wild. Like they do a plot description, like it has a plot synopsis section where it's just like, you know, depicting a man peeing through a keyway into a woman's bedroom. The woman lies alone in a bed and masturbates for some minutes. Then the man enters the woman's bedroom, undresses himself, and the two partners engage in different sexual activities in multiple positions. So, and then they go into that.
He didn't have a pizza or anything to deliver. He wasn't a maintenance guy.
Yeah.
The bar was so low back then.
I'm sorry. The man
was Germany. He was like
through
guy.
Yeah.
Keyway. Not peed, which is how I misread that. And I was like, damn, they got freaky right away.
He's like, I'm here to deliver the schnitzel, and I'm on my worst behavior.
Damn.
Worst behavior.
Pretty good right away.
Motherfucker never loved us.
No.
Worst.
He know now.
What is something you think is underrated, Carl?
Putting jelly on breakfast sandwiches.
I don't.
And here's the deal. So a lot of people like this, but when you go to McDonald's and you get a biscuit, sausage, egg and cheese biscuit,
right,
you got to throw that jelly on there, and you got to drown it in jelly. And I've said this before, and people have been like, "What, boy, you crazy?" And then they come back and they go, "What, boy, you genius?" And I go, first of all, don't call me boy. don't call me boy, white lady. But I hope you enjoyed. And I definitely, you know, jelly. I don't think people talk about it enough. I don't think people understand. I know it might be a Southern thing, but all McDonald's got jelly, and they got it for a reason. It's for those breakfast sandwiches. I put jelly on my McGriddle, which people say you're gonna get your foot cut off eventually because
that's a lot of sugar, and I respect it.
Do you do it? I know people who like the biscuit with jelly. You ever do it with a McMuffin with cheese?
I'm gonna be real with you. I don't eat McMuffins. I don't. Something about the McMuffin doesn't move me. I go. Right. I'm a biscuit or a McGriddle guy. However, if I am forced to eat a McMuffin, if somebody brings me
somebody kidnaps you because they've been in love with you from afar and traps you in their home for 365 days to fall in love.
Exactly, and make me move to Sicily. Yeah. If I'm going to the Sicilian McDonald's and I'm being like jelly.
I mean, yeah, the jelly thing, I'm going to have to try that because I always see it. I don't like sweet and savory, but whenever I have it together, I'm always like, this is pretty good.
Yeah. You like prosciutto? You like prosciutto and cantaloupe, stuff like
that?
Yeah,
prosciutto and melone. Man. Oh, yes. Love it.
I will say this. So that was when I was eating. I lived in Amsterdam for a year. When I was over there, I don't think they had biscuits. So it was McMuffins over there.
Right.
And I had to put my own jelly on it because they didn't have jelly at the McDonald's. And they would always be like, what? And I'd be like, man, I hate this place. But and then I would go back to my house and put my own jelly on it.
There you go.
I just realized I was about to call you Italy-ophile because there's Francophile, there's Anglophile, but it's apparently Italophilia is the word for that. Nobody ever uses that. You got
Italophile. I'm an Italophile.
Italophile. Yeah.
That's, oh man,
that sucks. They need a better one than that.
And there's nobody more ready to go support that economy when they reopen.
Mm. Carl, what is something you think is overrated?
Soreness after leg day at the gym.
What do you mean overrated? In what way?
Overrated. Like, who wants to be sore? That's stupid. Yeah. They'd be like, oh man, it's working. I can't barely get out of bed. I got to go to the bathroom and pee, but I just fell by my bed because my legs are so sore. What if you have to save an old woman from a burning building and you just like, ah, I can't do it. And they'd be like, but you be in the gym. And they'd be like, but I just, yesterday was leg day.
Yeah.
And you just got to drop her and watch her burn.
Have you been recently taking a more aggressive approach to your leg muscle development?
Well, here's the deal. So we've been out of working out for, I don't do home workouts. I just can't do it. I can't get motivated to work out in my house. Mm. And so I, you know, have been off for the past, you know, what, 2.5-3 months. And due to the events of the last few weeks, needed to release some steam and talk to, I talked to my actual therapist, but I also needed that gym therapy, which I train with this Marine who's a crazy guy, but I love him. And he had a setup in his backyard that he's been trying to get me to come to for the whole quarantine. I'm like, no, I'm not coming. I told you I'm not doing it. But I broke it last week and was just like, all right, man, if everybody out here protesting and stuff like that, I guess I can go to my trainer's backyard. And it actually was
body strong.
Yeah, it was like really nice and really soothing. And I needed it. I definitely needed that outlet. But now legs is weak out here, boy. Oh man, I was shaking. Man, I was shaking like a maraca in that damn gym.
Oh,
everything I worked out, core, everything is gone from 2 months. That's why people be addicted to the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's funny because I had the opposite effect. I just hated gyms and I also couldn't get motivated enough to work out at home. But once I was just at home, I was like, I have to move. Like it just became like naturally my body, I think, was just like, you have to do something because your butt is shrinking from recording podcasts all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight up. You ain't got no ass no more, Miles. That's what I've been meaning to say. I was like, you're sitting a little low.
I know. A lot lower than normal. I was going to put my booster seat up, but I feel like Anna and Jack and Dan would all call me out because they know where my head usually sits in the frame.
Right. Carl, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Public transportation is good.
In this city?
In this city is absolutely dog shit. But people try to say that it's good anywhere. The myth that I have is that public transportation is bad everywhere. Everybody should have a car.
For the earth.
Controversial with the environmentalists, but okay. All right. Eventually we'll get to a place where we all have electronic cars.
Yeah, let them be electric, whatever you want them to be. Water powered, solar powered. But everybody needs a car. Public transportation is terrible everywhere. People go, oh, but New York, the public transportation is like, no, man. If I have to risk getting robbed, like, so, of course, I'm a West Coast guy.
Mm-hmm.
The bus here sucks because it sits in traffic just like everybody else does. You're going to be late. You got to leave 4 hours in advance to get somewhere 10 minutes late. And so this is a car city. It's better with cars here. I hate getting on the train. It's always some bullshit going on the train. Somebody doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Smoking meth. Hitting somebody with a bicycle. Like, it's always something that shouldn't be going on a train. And I'm just like, I'm stuck underground in a city that has earthquakes with this dude smoking meth and beating people up with a bicycle. I don't like this. And the bus, of course, is terrible. I grew up taking the bus here. I had to take the bus until I was 23 years old when I was able to buy my own car. My mom was like, I ain't got no money to buy you a car. And so I plan on having 12 cars one day. So if one breaks down.
A whole fleet.
Yeah, because I'll never get back on a damn bus. I hate the bus so much.
I think the thing too with like New York is I remember when we were on tour for our show, we were like, remember Jack, we were trying to make, we had to get to like, make another train. And at some point, the train we were waiting for got delayed in true New York fashion. We're like, uh-oh, the train we were counting on to get us there in time is now delayed. And now all this stress of like, would it be faster if we ran? Would it be faster if we tried to hail a cab? All that extra stress I was not feeling good about because comparatively, also being Japanese, in Japan, my fucking God, I'm telling you, Carl, take those trains because they're never late. They're on time. They're more accurate, like, in terms of, like, staying on schedule than, like, the sun rising and setting. And in that way, I feel good on public transport like that. But
I do wonder, like, you know, buses and also, like, Uber, like, all the different things where you're sharing space with other people. I wonder how those are going to bounce back. Because, like, I don't feel good about, like,
getting a
Lyft right now.
Unfortunately, it's about necessity, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you don't... Yeah. The train, the subway, the bus, that is your only option. So, you know, for a large group of people, that's just going to have to be how it is. But I think I think with LA, though, we just have our systems could be so much better if we were able to build through wealthier areas, because those are like sort of the things that are holding up connecting like truly downtown to the west side or the valley, et cetera. Is like,
yeah,
because people in Beverly Hills are like, well, if there's a subway station, then working people will get off here. And then they will be in my view. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. I don't like to acknowledge that the world might be different than my bubble.
Yeah.
Listen, I ain't worried about getting no COVID in old train station because it's already disgusting enough. Something else is eating up that COVID, like Pac-Man.
Somehow, like, subway stations are like this safe place. They're like, there's actually a more predatory virus that just demolishes all the molecules.
Unfortunately, it will devour your skin, so you won't have skin by the end of it. But
oh, it's also a giant literal monster that could also just eat you whole, too. That's the problem.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really.
Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. So first off, Miles, you have this section here titled "Don't Be Fooled." There is still work to do.
Yeah,
and I think that's a good point to make.
I think there's been a lot of tremendous progress in the last couple of weeks in terms of seeing people get into the streets, get in touch with their power and their ability to affect change by showing up. And I think at the end of last week, it was really cool to see things like, you know, NASCAR saying they're done flying the stars and bars, or if, you know, watching statues of slavers go down across the world, I think was really powerful. And these are great symbolic moments, but I want, you know, as much as that feels good and we're reclaiming fort, like the names of our forts, so they're not named after Confederate traitors and things like that. I think it's important to realize that, like, the purpose of everything that we're doing and what we're drawing our attention to is that we actually have to pursue deep structural change. And while these are good, like, visual things that help us stay engaged, like, we also have to keep our eye on the prize, because LA, the budget is not final in LA. That's just
right.
That's just been one thing. We have not actually seen how that will play out in terms of how much less funding the police will receive. Because right normally they get, I think last year was $1.86 billion, and they're asking for three this year. So $150 million isn't that significant when we're talking about all the other services that are going by the wayside because of these lopsided budgets. So, you know, as I know, it looks like there's all kinds of things happening, and there are, but we also need to be really, really aware that this was all set off because people really hadn't began to understand what Black folks have been talking about in terms of systemic oppression in this country over policing and white supremacy. And I think if we're going to have a reckoning, let's make sure we're always keeping our eye on that.
Yeah. The fact that, like, I think we need to get more involved, like, at a local level. I feel like culturally, you know, because everybody's connected by social media now, everybody's, like, kind of focused on the same pop culture, like people in the Midwest who are hipsters look like people who are hipsters in Brooklyn. Like, everything's like this one big massive culture that I think we've kind of abandoned the local a little bit. And I think, like, the fact that it was the city council that voted to dissolve the Minneapolis Police Department over the objection and, like, had a veto proof majority, like, that was kind of eye-opening to me, that, like, the city council is not something that I was paying that much attention to, like, in my neighborhood. I was paying attention to it when I knew somebody who was involved with a race or something, but it's, like, the local, the things that you can do, like, to involve yourself as a citizen in your community are, you know, that's where we're gonna have to, like, continue to push and continue to, you know, fight for change, it seems like. All right. Well, let's talk about the economic outlook and why it's bleak.
You wrote lava and mushroom clouds as a description. Is that the name of the article, or that was your description of what?
That was my description of what, of the visual this guy's given us. Yeah, I mean, he used I don't know which one's more dramatic, because he used the jetliner that's engines have flamed out, that's coasting and is about to crash into the side of a mountain in August as the metaphor, which is pretty dramatic also. But, you know, he talks about how our day-to-day economic lives are being propped up by, like, emergency legislation, the $12,000 or $1,200 checks, $1,200 checks.
Yeah.
The eviction freezes, the increased unemployment benefits, but he points out that that shit's all scheduled to expire in July and August. Mm-hmm. And none of those things are, as of right now, going to be replaced unless the Republicans have a complete and total like change of, I wrote change of heart, but it seems like it would be more like change of humans, like all the humans become different humans who are in the Republican Party, because like it just seems like it's counter to everything that they care about.
You said humans. They're not human.
Yeah, the Democrats tried to pass a comprehensive aid package, and it was just considered DOA by the Republican Senate. The freeze on student loans is set to expire in the fall. We're getting by on food banks and stimulus checks that are about to run out, and it's going to run out as we're like closing in on an election that was already probably going to be apocalyptic without any of this stuff, just because of who the president is and who his supporters are. And, you know, the open ways he's courting foreign interference. And I don't know. It's just that people have talked about how all these different things are a perfect storm. But I mean, it seems like we might be headed for a bigger one coming up.
I mean, this is the thing. Maybe. Like, the Republicans used that jobs report last week that was completely like, they're like, no, that wasn't accurate. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh, we're doing better now. That wasn't the case. And you could tell that was all they needed, because they just needed the logical argument to then be like, well, if the economy's improving, I don't think we need to talk about another round of financial aid for America, considering what we're looking at. And, you know, the stock market, it's dark, because you also have people who have not really been in touch with what it's like to be a working class person, to work minimum wage, to live check to check, deciding on their behalf what's best, without any idea of what the stressors actually are. Then you get this shitty legislation where, but this is kind of like the whole thing, right? The government fails to actually support people. So then it's the secondary, like private citizens are basically having to support each other by donating to food banks or charities and things like that. And that's taking up a lot of the slack when, I mean, yeah, like he says, we've been coasting for a while. When you just look at how the disparities between like, you know, CEO and worker pay has been gone up. Like, this doesn't end with somehow working people discovering more money at the bottom of their, you know, right. beds or something. That's not how it works. They're hoarding all the wealth. So I think what this is also saying is like, we're reaching an end game point with all this wealth being siphoned up at the top with nothing left for the masses. And now there's quite literally, like you're saying, we're like running on fumes where people need food banks now. And we're also saying, nah, no stimulus checks, no help anymore. Let's see how it pans out. But I don't know what their response is going to be. They're just going to be mass evictions and then trigger a second like diabolical housing crisis where not even any, like, I guess that's what happens. And then the wealthier people come up and buy all the homes that have been foreclosed on and then create some new way to rent it out to people who are struggling.
Yeah.
Time to get guns. Everybody. Well, I mean, especially my black brothers, get your straps.
Yeah.
Legally. Oof.
I don't see, like, I think people are underestimating how much of a crisis we're headed for and like how easily it could devolve into something like more violent than we've ever seen before in the history of our country. Like, maybe not in the history of our country, but in the modern history of our country.
Yeah.
The Q thing scares the shit out of me. Like, I'm seeing people, there's a doctor friend, kind of former friend, who I haven't really spoken to in 10 years, but she's a black woman. She's a surgeon. She's like very smart. And like in my memory, one of the sweetest human beings like I've ever met. And she's like begun dog whistling Q shit on social media. She like thinks all coronavirus stuff and Black Lives Matter protests are part of a conspiracy to take support away from Trump. She's like talking about George Soros. She's talking about like pedophiles and like combating pedophiles and killing pedophiles. Like, there, she's a doctor. Like, that's
So is Ben Carson, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And so am I.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
So what's your point?
What's your point, though?
What are you trying to say about doctors?
Yeah. So was that Ohio doctor who was like, isn't it possible that coronavirus is disproportionately impacting black people because colored people don't wash their hands as well? That dude was an emergency doctor. Did you see him?
No, I didn't.
No,
see
I saw that headline, but I was like, I don't know. This seems par for the course for America, especially right now. I mean, but this Q thing is really, it's interesting because it's almost like these are just ways of dealing with your oppression or your perceived oppression or perceived feeling that things aren't right.
Right.
You know? And so for most people, I think people who have lived actually in America and have seen the destructive force of systemic oppression and capitalism and how that works, you go, oh, I think I know why it's like this. Because in fact, I'm experiencing it every day. But I think for a group of people who maybe aren't as familiar, it's easier to create these things like plandemic, that the 5G towers went up. Because if you think about every subsequent radio technology that's come out, whether that's UHF and the Spanish flu or 3G or like regular cellular phones and the advent of ADHD, like this logic path that they follow is like very, it's a lot of it just to explain that they're like why they are lacking. Because I see a lot of people commenting on like all kinds of social media posts where people are talking about, you know, like actual Black Lives Matters issues. And they come in and you see like these George Soros things come in. And when you click, everyone's like hashtag plandemic. I'm out of work because of plandemic. Thanks, George Soros. Plandemic's working. My job's gone. So I also see a lot of white people using this to explain what's happening. Like, I feel like maybe it's increased because I see a lot of connection between plandemic and people's unemployment now, like being pumped out of people's social media accounts who are like following this conspiracy theory.
Is this what's going on with Ice Cube right now?
Nah, he's more on like just like Hotep memes and, you know,
okay,
like that. Because QAnon, like that whole conspiracy about Q and this, there's a cabal of pedophiles that run the world and Donald Trump is combating them. And also these pedophiles are part of what they call the deep state, which is really pulling the strings. And Donald Trump is the only one fighting them. That's why everyone's against him. When really he's trying to awaken the world to the truth about the evil pedophiles and human trafficking and 5G and like who's actually running the world, the Jews. You know, like it's all just really dark, dark shit that is, it doesn't explain much unless like you have a lot of time to connect the dots in your own mind and follow other conspiracy theorists on YouTube.
Well, it looks like I got some YouTube homework.
Don't.
Bring me back next week because I'm going to have a lot to say. Yeah. I'm going to have a sermon.
Where we go one, we go all.
Yeah.
But I think to your point, like, the, you know, Ice Cube, there was a rise in exorcisms last year. Like, people are this is how people are dealing with reality, like you said, Miles. And like the Q thing is one just kind of giant sandbox of like kind of pseudo facts to like kind of bury your head in. But I think there's a lot of people doing that. And
right,
because reality as it currently is constituted is fucking hard to deal with.
It's funny when you read these, like, you know, I sent you when you were first writing this up about how you knew someone with Q, I sent you one of their like vision boards, it's like, I think what's called like a deep state map that most followers of Q look at, which helps people make sense of everything. When you look at it, it is so visually chaotic that it makes no sense. What's funny though too is absent are the terms capitalism or white supremacy.
Right.
So, right. Exactly. You know, and I think those are things that this offers people a way to make sense of the world without actually maybe looking at those things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a great way to explain it away.
Yeah. There's like, you know, Silicon Valley, DARPA, COVID, 5G, but then they also have like satellites. Just satellites as a concept. Polio vaccine, baby boomers. Yeah, it's
one just
it's
says mail in ballots. Like, okay.
Uh huh. Anyways, people should check it out. There's a lot to learn in this in this spreadsheet. But like, that's I wonder if there's a thing where too much information, you can like kind of make yourself less efficient or dumber with too much information as we have as a species since the invention of the internet. Like, this whole like spreadsheet makes it clear to me at least one of the reasons that the whole Q thing is so popular is because it would take you decades to like work your way through like all the bullshit that's on this page.
Somebody typed that up. Can you believe that? A living, breathing human invented that. Somebody who was born just like you and I, who has a respiratory system and who eats food.
A brain.
And a brain. Typed that up. And there are people who mm-hmm. believe it. And man, we are going down that. It's not a hot take, but I'm assuming we can all agree. I think Twitter should be eliminated.
Oh yeah,
Twitter should be.
I think it's the worst thing ever, and I know people are gonna be like, well, some good things. Missing people were found. I don't care. It's poison. Mm.
They need to seriously just use it to communicate rather than if you're gonna just spread this kind of nonsense, because that's really, I mean, it's so easy to go down one of these rabbit holes. But when I look at this diagram of the deep state, it just looks like bad improv. You know what I mean? And I feel like comedians...
Don't disrespect the improv like that.
No. I said bad, not masterful improv from the gods, such as yourself, Carl. But I mean, like, in the sense where any good improviser, if I say, Carl, do a scene real quick where you connect 5G to Obama's left shoe. You know, like, that's the kind of things they're connecting, but it's just the loosest shit they use to connect those dots. So I think anybody with a certain confirmation bias... I mean, damn, you can make any of this true as long as you're so against maybe looking at what's happening in the world and see that for what it is. Maybe it's just easier to look at this shit.
Well, think about it, Miles. See, we did not see 5G until Obama came into office. Mm-hmm. But here was the deal. Mm-hmm. That day he came into office, his car was broken down. And so he had to get on public transportation, but it was in New York. It was really late at night. He was wearing a disguise because he was Barack Obama. He chose to put that prototype 5G phone in his left sock, which the sock was bad. The phone slipped down to his left shoe. You got to think, brother.
Yeah.
You got to think.
I'm sorry. See, preach, man. See, this is why we have you on to teach these listeners, you know, what's really going on. But I think, but when you watch some of these videos, I mean, It's rough, man. And again, the idea that the thing that really catches me about all this is when you see a lot of these Q supporters confront Black Lives Matter protesters and just say, you're here because of George Soros. Like,
right.
Which means that it's easier for this person to believe that some boogeyman is causing people to, you know, fight racism than the idea that racism could be so repugnant to a lot of people that they just got out in the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they go,
really, you're seeing that on the other side with people trying to blame Trump for everything. Like, I mean, Trump's obviously a terrible leader, and we wouldn't be in a lot of this mess if like we didn't have the worst leader in the history of the country. But he's also not, like, none of this shit started with him. Right?
No. And there's the bottom line is you have to throw every president on the fire. Nobody's safe. That's just part and parcel of what it means to be president of the United States, because this country's a racket. So already you're a mob boss by default. So you're not going to really be able to do anything with your hands clean.
Mm. Except Nixon. We like Nixon. We're a pro Nixon podcast. Everybody.
How's that back tat coming? Who played the piano?
Nixon played the piano.
Did he play it well?
Yeah. He was getting it in.
By the way, Carl, I didn't know you were such a good singer. On the Flagrant Ones, you guys do a musical parody songs, and Carl really hits those notes.
Thanks, man.
Pretty impressive shit, man.
That came out of, we did the first episode, and we didn't have any type of theme song or anything like that. And so I was just like, all right, I'm just about to make up a song, and I just kept doing it every episode.
Yeah, there are some songs that I've like rediscovered because you guys parodied them, and I was like, damn, that song is really good.
Come on, man.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk about the number one movie on Netflix.
Where are we going?
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And we all watched at least some of 365 Days, which is the number one movie on Netflix. Real quick, before we get to that, did you guys watch the Chappelle special that dropped, I think, at the end of last week?
I saw the first 15 minutes of it.
I watched it, and it was great. I watched it last night. I've never seen him that passionate. I've never seen him that, like, man, he's just, I wanted to include him in my underrated because I feel like there's still a contingency of people who don't consider him the GOAT. And I know GOAT conversations are redundant and comedy is subjective. But that guy is at least of the past 30 years. I'll give him the crown. If you want to give Eddie the crown, Raw came out in 1987. Like, that's 33 years. I'm rocking with Chappelle over the GOAT of the past 33 years, and that's with Chris and other people.
100%.
And I'm giving him my crown of all. Like, I think he's the best one. I think with Evolution, because I am a big believer in Evolution, and George Soros. And I'm LeBron's my guy. LeBron's my GOAT. And Chappelle,
you were loving that moment when he was giving LeBron his roses.
Yeah,
man, I was in this couch. I was on the couch crying, crying and jacking off at the same time.
Yeah, there's There's something about Dave Chappelle, you know, like he has, you know, a lot of people choose to focus on things that he says that are controversial. But there's a lot, like he says in his special, it's like he's been speaking about this for a long time. And I think the beauty of his work is that it's almost like his shows and stuff had just laid the groundwork for people to wake up, because people yeah. are familiar with the humor of like sort of nihilistic attitudes Black people have in terms of existing in this country, or the nihilism we feel about racism. And when that ends, that it's always become a way to just make jokes that make some people uncomfortable, other people really laugh. And then to watch him sort of really, he's just becoming such a, like a, I don't know, the way he was talking about everything that was just going beyond his ability to be a comedian, I think it was just impressive. I think seeing a lot of people evolve in that way is kind of interesting right now.
He's just such a smart dude, man. Like I wish I had the brain capacity that he does. Over the quarantine, I used him as an example because I watched his Kennedy Center Honors. Was that what that was? Or like, mm-hmm. and just talking about how much he reads and stuff like that. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start reading some of these books that he talks about and stuff like that. And I'm still dumb as hell. And it was just like... But he's such a smart dude, and the way he does stand-up comedy, I feel like the way it is supposed to be, where you take something and you have a take on it that makes everybody think. And like, he's just hands down, man. He's the GOAT. He's the living legend, man. And him going on that rant about LeBron, like, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is my world's colliding.
You're getting it tatted now, that C logo.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets on the back.
I always talk about that, though. The fact that LeBron at 17 was on the cover of SI, the fact that I always bring up is that Nike and Adidas had billboards in his hometown that were aimed only at him. They were trying to recruit him. Like, imagine having advertisements where like growing up in the Truman Show, except bigger, because like everybody is openly like creating the world around your reality. Yeah. And then he became the best player of all time. Like, how does anybody do that? And then people like hated on him for so long.
They still do.
Yeah, they do.
It took him to come to the Lakers for me to fully open up.
Which I can't stand y'all, dog. I cannot stand y'all asses, bro. Y'all suck.
We're spoiled, shitty people. I'm sorry. That's what Laker fans are. We're spoiled, shitty people. But not
what
even the sense.
What did you
of
not like about
no,
LeBron
no,
before?
I didn't dislike him. I was just more like, I was like, this man is the best player in the league. But there just wasn't. I something didn't resonate with me aside from objectively being able to be like, this guy is a just phenomenal basketball player. There's like no way to doubt that. I was never in doubt about that. It was just, you know, it's just your own bullshit as a fan where you're like, nah, like the greats are like, you know, I'm a 90s kid. So for a long time, I held on to Jordan. And it took me a while where I was like, man, fuck Kobe. And even as a Laker fan, I was just more loyal to Jordan. And I didn't like Kobe when he first started because he didn't pass the ball. And I was like, you're fucking our whole team up. Learn something. Then he ended up doing his thing. But I don't know. I think it's just a weird thing too, where sometimes you're so blinded by this like one dimensional shit that like, I can't, you know, and I felt bad that I was like, it took that for me to say like, I really fuck with LeBron James versus being ambivalent.
That's one thing about him that I figured out. That's, he wants that. He needs that. He needs to be liked by everybody. And he came to the fan base that hated him the most, which pissed me off royally because I was happy to have him in LA, but I'm just like, bro, you could have carved out. Imagine the legacy that you could have had if you won a championship with the Clippers. Like, you're still in your city. You're still doing what you want to do. What are you chasing? Why did you have to come to the Lakers? Like, what legacy are you chasing coming to the Lakers? And it's like, oh, it's the name. Man, forget all that. Like, this is dumb, but like, you know, listen, Jack wants to move on. He's looking at me like, hey, wrap it up. Wrap it up,
no,
B.
No, I'm
Chappelle
not,
show.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, but seriously, imagine LeBron coming to the Los Angeles Clippers and winning us a championship. And I'm saying that biasedly as a Clipper fan, but also as
it'd
just
be more impressive.
NBA fan. It would be extremely impressive. He would, that Like he like would have won two like lowly franchises a championship, winning Cleveland one and winning the Clippers one, and he had to come to the Lakers. Like, are you trying to one up Kobe? Are you trying to be called Magic 2.0? You're always going to be in a shadow doing that. Right. You're always going to be in a shadow.
And I think that's why initially, like, for Laker fans, it's like, what do you like this team's for people who are like going to be down for a few years.
You know what blew me away about watching him this season, and then they, you know, in the quarantine were playing a bunch of like classic games, and I was watching like his second title with the Heat. He's like so much better now than he was at what should have been his physical prime. Just like all the shit he adds to his game is truly, truly incredible. Like he's just literally a genius.
Yeah. Mm.
Speaking of geniuses,
let's talk about 365 days. like I said, I was curious about this movie because it was number two. It was the number one movie. Number one piece of content was like 13 Reasons Why. But it's a Polish movie. And I guess people are just really horny because they're in quarantine and they miss human touch. I also think it like started getting like picking up a little viral attention because people would accidentally turn it on in front of their parents.
Yeah.
So that was like something that went viral. But the movie itself is wild.
It's trash.
Yeah.
I was on, you know, I told you I'm in airplane mode where everything is good. I couldn't get through this. Like it started to repeat itself.
Speaking of airplane mode, there's a lot of really aggressive sex scenes on airplanes. I felt like I was watching something that was like in code that was like dog whistling to somebody who's not me, because there was like all this stuff about bondage, but then like, you know, just even the last line of the movie is like her friend being like, you're in a cage. Like they just really wanted her to be like locked in somewhere.
Yeah.
It was just very like they were driving at something that was really, I don't know. And I think it must be the same thing as 50 Shades. Cause I know that I didn't see 50 Shades, but I know that has like people being locked up. This has like a lot of similar stuff with people being like tied up and shit. But,
there's a lot of head in that movie.
In 50 Shades?
Yeah.
In this movie, 365 Denis. A lot of fellatio going on.
The funniest moment in the movie is he has the girl he's trying to seduce tied up in bed, and he goes, I'm going to show you what you're missing. And then he just sits down, and a woman comes in and gives him a blowjob. like this could be you, girl.
I don't know who okay, I think it's popular because it has like Sharknado vibes where it's so all over the place. You're like, this thing is absurd that you have to see it. Because the cycle of like fighting and fucking, like it gets boring. But then like the person who, I'm really curious about who wrote this, because it comes from the perspective, it's so fucked. Like there's no such thing as consent. There's no such thing as like understanding what the power dynamics between these people. If you haven't watched it, it's about a mobster who like saw a woman through binoculars the day his father gets like assassinated, who's like the mob boss, and he's so obsessed with her he like endeavors to capture her to make her fall in love with him, and like steals her away on a trip and then shows
by
her
drugging
images.
Her
yeah by drugging her Then when she comes to, shows her images of her current boyfriend having an affair. And he's like, you see, so you don't want to be with him. I already got, my goons already took the shit from your hotel, left a note, and you live with me now. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, and I'll give you 1 year to fall in love with me. And that's how we're starting. So I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Well, Miles, congratulations. You got the writer sitting right in front of you. If you guys got any questions, I will answer them all. So the movie fantastic. Is titled 365 DNI, which stands for Do Not Resuscitate.
Yeah.
Resuscitate.
That is a thing. DNI is do not intubate, and it's basically the like a version of do not resuscitate in the medical community. So it is a very morbid thing that you put in your title, Carl, as the writer of the movie.
Yeah,
and it wasn't just the Polish word for days.
No.
So
yeah,
as the writer, I have to ask you: the male protagonist keeps
Massimo
keeps sneaking up behind the girl and going, "Are you lost, baby girl?"
Yes.
And then he disappears like date rape Batman at one point. But like that is like the recurring thing. Did you think that was like a cool line?
I did. And now his original name was Keith. and the network wanted to change it to Massimo. You know,
yeah. A little more accurate for a Sicilian mobster.
Yeah. I was like, his name's Keith Baker.
Yeah.
And
oh, cool, Keith. How about that?
Yeah. And when I thought of the line, "Do not are you lost, baby girl?" You know, I was I wanted to show, you know, him being patronizing and also loving, because who do you love more than a baby girl? And or baby deer or anything like that. You know, it was originally, "Are you lost, baby deer?" But the network, you know. And I would say my favorite scene that I wrote was the initial plane blowjob scene where
had everyone talking.
The pressure, because a plane gets pressurized when it takes off, and the pressure turns his penis into a rubber kind of phallic, and you caught glimpses of it. And that to me, that was the end of the movie right there. That was the end. But they were
that's how I got there. They wanted me to add 90 more pages to it.
Yeah,
that.
I was like, what? I'm a genius.
They're like, "Carl, these scripts are just guys getting head on airplanes." The exactly. Last five movies you just submitted to us, and they end at page 15.
And I go, "Have you ever gotten head on an airplane?" They go, well, no. And I go, and they're like, "But you'd like either. To, wouldn't you?"
Me either, but I got to know what it's like.
Yeah.
The whole thing, too, is... The other things, aesthetic things that really kind of just made me laugh, aside from how problematic and just gross the whole setup is for the relationship, the music is all like this European royalty-free covers where it's clearly European people singing in English where they're like, "Treat me like your boo treat, gonna take you out because I love you." And you're like, what the fuck?
It was exactly like that.
Always. And I was like, bro, I can't, like, in a way I'm like laughing, but also then the dialogue was written like motherfucking, like, if when you watch cutscenes in video games and it's like a Japanese game being translated into English and you see a cutscene, like, it's all off, like the nuance of the language is all gone. There's one moment where she's like, "And what the fuck you're gonna do are me to you? No." And he's like, "I do anything, don't be disobedient." And you're like, what are they even saying to each other right now?
I can explain. What the fuck are you going to do like me to you? Meaning, are you not looking within when we... Are you not understanding what you are putting me through? Imagine if this was done to you.
Right. Mm.
And then he says, "I don't have time to look within. We have an assignment. Mm, right. Please don't be disobedient." And then the song cuts in. Do your love making love? Do your love making love?
Treat boo. Treat. I wanna kiss now, you.
Carl, were you writing this just as you had like a mix on shuffle and you just like wrote to the songs that came in?
Yeah. So I listen. There's a Spotify playlist called Bullshit, and I listened to that and I got inspired.
Eurovision bullshit.
I gotta find this soundtrack because there are some just gems on there that like make no lyrical sense at all.
I kept the subtitles on because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And like they have the songs have titles and like the artist's name next to it. Like
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
It would be like now, what was the one that got me? It said "You" by Alex Condliff and Lamb Hands. And I'm like, who the fuck is Lamb Hands?
Yeah.
And the song
Lamb
was
Hands.
So
you don't know Lamb Hands?
Down tempo. I was like, oh, is Lamb Hands like a dubstep DJ or some shit? And maybe it just means because the piano was so fucking gentle, that's what they meant by Lamb Hands. I don't know. Yeah. But The other ones, Watch Me Burn, Kiss Me by Mallow. Please, if anything, just check out some of the soundtrack because the lyrics are awesome. And like the accents really made me laugh in terms of the musical choices.
I'll tell you how Lamb Hands got his name. We were at a barbecue, but it was a fancy barbecue, a bunch of lamb shanks on the table. He picked one up.
Fancy.
He picked one up and he ate it. He was like, man, this is a good ass lamb. And he kept picking them up. This is a good ass lamb. Mm. And then it was like, we have to get out of here. Our car is waiting for us. And he had all this lamb in his hands. And we were like, lamb hands.
Huh.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history. And that's how he got on the soundtrack for 365 Denis. What? How does it end? Because once the yacht fuck montages like didn't end, it's wild too. Because this film also just has like 3 minute sex scenes that will make you yawn. Like I think they're only hot for Americans because so many Americans are so puritanical and buttoned up that the idea that a woman using a vibrator is like, and they're like, my parents are watching people kiss and. You kind of see the base of a guy's shaft. Like, that's all I feel like people are talking about, just responding to that.
If you're trying to get freaky on Netflix, check out the movie Love. I believe it's French or something like that. First, out the gate, it's...
That shit is wild.
I think it's one of those movies where they actually are actually having sex, like the two people. Like they hire like
it's actual pornography on Netflix.
Yeah.
This felt like Cinemax.
And the dude from that is dating, Lenny Kravitz's daughters?
Zoe Kravitz?
Zoe Kravitz. Dude from that is dating Zoe Kravitz.
The dude from Love? Oh, okay. I was like, Massimo from 365 Denis?
Keith?
This movie was actually like came out in theaters, right? And it was one of those like
in
things
Poland
that shifted.
In the UK. Yeah.
Right. Oh, wow.
So this... Yeah, this is just the first film in a trilogy, actually. Is going to be So it's based on a novel. The director is the author of the novel, this is going to be a trilogy, probably with like a prequel trilogy as well, like Lord of the Rings, Star Wars style, because you can't just leave these movies where they are. But so you made it to the yacht fuck montage.
Yes.
Okay. There's an old man on the boat when that starts.
Yeah, that's true.
Is he just like hiding, or are they like, is he there just watching it?
Because that whole scene,
they fuck in every corner of the boat.
Like, even in the engine room, and like the fucking, it's like what. So the thing is, that whole scene is so weird because prior to that, he's basically slut-shaming her slash blaming her for a man trying to rape her because of how she dressed. And then things go on, blah, dot, dot, dot. Suddenly, they're fucking all over the boat and all their like whole mob entourage is gone. I don't know. I guess this is... Who is the author a man, a woman? Do we know?
I think it's a woman.
We must know, right?
Yeah.
Blanka Lipinska.
I believe it's a woman. Yeah.
Which is my stage name.
right. Well, congratulations.
Named after your favorite Street Fighter character.
And you asked how the movie ends, Miles. Mm-hmm. The movie ends with one plane flying into another plane that's kind of mouth-shaped and just kind of going in and realize it has to reverse. And then it has to go back
and forth.
Keeps going back and forth. Yeah.
Those fellatio scenes were wild.
Yeah,
like wild.
Like there's gagging noises on a movie
there's
like
tears. I mean, look, I get it. Look, if you need something to activate your libido, I guess this is it.
It's just weird what they choose. Like some of it is softcore pornish, and some of it is like has the details of like really aggressive, violent hardcore porn. Yeah. Anyways, the movie ends with what we think is the woman character's death, but it turns out it's not, according to summaries of the second novel.
That shit ends with you thinking, though, that character Laura dies?
The ending is so, like, it's worth sticking through the ending if you watched.
Okay.
Like, you can fast forward. I was fast forwarding through the sex scenes and just to like see what happened.
Yeah, making you nervous.
and also because I was like watching it by myself on my phone and I just felt like weird.
Yeah.
Like my wife was going to like catch me. But yeah, it ends with just the old man gets a call on his cell phone. Spoilers, guys. The old man who was like there hiding on the boat while they had their yacht fuck montage. He gets a call and they're like, they're going to kill Anna or Laura or whichever one she is. Laura. And then he's like, what? But it seems like he might have ordered it. And then he runs over. Then we see her car drive into a tunnel and it doesn't come out the other side. And then the guy, he just like, it's really strange. Like the guy automatically assumes she's dead. Massimo does, because the guy just shows up and is like, doesn't say any. I don't know, man.
All right. I guess
it's very, very confusing.
I don't know. And then even as I mentioned, like, I guess I have to watch it. I'm just like, I don't fucking know. This is fucking
no
this
way.
So boring.
Yeah, it's very
boring.
Shit
was boring as hell.
Yeah. Even with all the gratuitous sex, like, that should have propped it up to make somebody just think, I'm like, just even the sex scenes were tired.
Yeah.
I wanted to make those boring because I wanted to make people realize, you know, love is not about passion. Love is about
that's right.
How mundane love can be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Getting hit on a plane.
Yeah, you thought it was cool.
Oh, my God. I guess, yeah, I guess we'll have to this fucking trilogy. Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Carl, it's been a pleasure having you on to talk about your film, 365 Days. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at DammitCarl, DammitCarl. And listen to the Flagrant Ones, which is on Patreon. After all this economy talk, how about spending an extra $5 a month on a podcast loosely based on basketball, which is not being played right now?
It's
coming soon.
Worth it,
maybe.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We will see. It's really strange because there's definitely players who have come out and said that they don't know how they feel about it. But then there's, I think, like, LeBron is like pushing for them to complete the season because he knows they have a good shot at winning the title. But like, I don't know. Like, I know Damian Lillard was like, I don't fucking want to play. I'm not going to win the title. I'm like, I'm going to risk my life.
Well, Kyrie was saying the optics of these black men being forced to entertain during a pandemic that is killing mostly black people just doesn't look good. And, you know, me and Kyrie think on a higher plane. We're on a different wavelength than most people.
Oh, yeah. You were on that flat earth shit way before him.
Yeah. He got that from me. He got that from the original iteration of Culture
Yo,
Kings.
How mad would you be if the Lakers won, though?
I mean, I'm already, like, planning for it. But I tell you this, I read something on Reddit that I thought was very, 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 like, poignant in the history of the Clippers. Because as you know, the Clips gonna clip in some sort of way. Mm-hmm. How Clipper would it be that the year that we're having one of our best seasons and got two great players and very, like, the odds of us winning is very high, that the season gets canceled by some unforeseeable pandemic.
Right.
And then when they decide to bring basketball back, we win the title where none of the fans can be in attendance to watch it. And we can't have a parade because there's a pandemic going on and also protest and everything like that. So gathering in large groups is just not a great idea. And that's just very Clipper. That's that's like, for us to win our first title in a ridiculous season, and on top of that ridiculous season, not being able to celebrate it and not being able to see it.
I feel like if it's going to be fully a good Clipper story, Keith Kloss has to factor into this somehow.
He'll be the main one, be like, we should have a parade because 5G, I ain't scared of that.
Oh, man, I remember when he got knocked out outside of that club.
Keith Kloss, baby. Interesting fella he is.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying, Carl?
Yeah. Vince Staples tweeted, I would have beat George Washington's ass. And that's something to really think about right there. Because I also feel like I would have beat his ass, too.
Knocked his wood teeth out?
Hell yeah. Knocked all them wood teeth out. Put them in my barbecue grill. Use them as some hickory. Grill up some brisket.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also on PlayStation Network. You can also find me on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, where, you know, we talk about 90 Day Fiance, but, you know, hi. So if you want to, this is a tweet I like is actually from Ben Collins, who's like on the, you know, digital beat over at MSNBC, who like he talks a lot about like 4chan and the things that are going on, internet radicalization. He was basically talking during the Antifa panic and was talking about this. He said, quote, "So many people responding to the nationwide Antifa panic have pointed me to the Twilight Zone episode, quote, 'The monsters are due on Maple Street,' end quote. It concludes with this monologue," and it's chilling, right? This is from the Twilight Zone. "The tools of conquest do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices to be found only in the minds of men. For the record, prejudices can kill, and suspicion can destroy. And a thoughtless, frightened search for a scapegoat has a fallout all of its own. For the children and the children yet unborn. And the pity of it is that these things cannot be confined to the Twilight Zone." But a very interesting thing when you talk about people fighting invisible enemies and getting together, like we saw a few weeks ago.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on, Miles. What is that going to be today?
Oh, man. If you haven't been listening to that Run the Jewels album, pretty good.
Pretty good.
And it start the first off the rip, the first track, Yankee and the Brave, is just a great track. So we're going to go out on that one from Run the Jewels, Yankee and the Brave. Got an LP, Killer Mike.
All right. Well, we are going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Scammer blitz when you put in feathers in charge of shit. All of us targeted, all we doing is arguing. Harder to miss it work until every pocket we picked and sold and harvested. I'm ready to mob, but he's fucking charlatans. Charlatans, 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 charlatans. Hearts fried, all this neon is ripping us up inside. Immortality's out of bounds, it's a one-round ride.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.